All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
McCall, I know that we have to pick out a game for Abject Suffering.
I mean, but something has come ticking. Up. Oh, okay. What, man?
Well, as you may or may not know, I've been kind of hooked on opiates for quite a while.
Oh, is this a very special episode, Gary?
It's a very, very special episode.
Okay.
I gave myself an intervention, and while you were away, and I'm trying to get out of it, and I need your help.
Oh, I mean, anything. This is a very serious topic. Yeah, no. Okay. Well, what do you need?
Well, so the plan I had, so I have all these opiates just around my apartment, and I've been hiding them for myself. I've been hiding them from Brayden. Like, I've got, you know, a baggie floating in the toilet tank, and I've got, you know, in the bottom of my box of cereal, I've got some there.
Okay.
And I was thinking about hiring some people to kind of break into my house and take them from me, like take him away, because if they just come right now while I'm awake and everything, I'm gonna fight him because I want that opiate.
as one does. I don't mean to laugh, you said that in a very earnest way. Okay, did you have like a hookup? Like, I don't know where one even does this, if it's even a good idea.
I've got a number, but this is where I need your help, because I can't be trusted.
Okay.
So I've got this number, and I want you to call it, because I want to name you as my nightly morphine prowler arranger.
Okay. Well, here.
Wait a minute.
Wait.
Nightly morphine prowler arranger.
Why does that sound familiar?
Nightly morphine prowler arranger. Nightly morphine prowler arranger. Hey, we could do that.
Yeah, we could.
I'm high as fuck.
Grim angle to take, Gary. I don't know if I'm comfortable with it.
Yeah. Well, here.
I will not accept anything from you today, sir.
Steve.
the shinasack.
The shinasack would have been, he would have been good then. Yeah. He could be one of the nightly morphine prowler rangers. Yeah. Or nightly morphine prowlers.
Yes.
You're the ranger. This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
And this is Abject Suffering, the show where we play bad games so you don't have to.
Yeah. And this week we are talking about the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers video game for the Super Nintendo. This is a randomly chosen game.
Interesting.
Yeah. Brian is the one who randomly chose this bad boy, saying, I got this game because I loved the show as a kid. Back then I thought it was a lot of fun. Now, though, I recognize it as a so-so side-scroller. Not terrible, but not as good as my kid memory told me it was. See also Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie starring Ivan Ooze. Yeah, and I checked that out. Actually went and checked out a whole suite of Power Rangers games for the 16-bit systems, and that one is functionally identical to this one. So, two birds with one stone.
It seems like I didn't play other ones other than this one, but it seems like the one to play is the Sega CD one.
Oh, I mean, the Sega CD one is just an interactive episode of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like QuickTime events.
Yeah. Like, it's got QuickTime events. It is an interactive, it's like a, an adaptation of the mini series, a girl like Green with Envy or something like that, where they introduced the Green Ranger as this, you know, sixth figure who initially was evil, but then using his magical flute was won over to the side of good. This is before he turned into the White Ranger, again in a similar turn. But this was also before he turned into an MMA star who primarily fought for Jesus.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like most of the actors who are in Mighty Morphin Power Rangers probably eventually became like turned to Jesus.
Oh, there was, because they had nowhere left to go.
Yeah, they've hit rock bottom. Like, the Power Rangers. I'm kind of surprised we haven't done a Power Rangers based thing.
Yeah, or Power Rangers, like we've talked about, like Sentai stuff, because it's interacted with other things, like on Killer 7 and Watch Out for Fireballs, or with Mario RPG, the crazy Koopa Squad or whatever that was.
Yeah, with those well, those guys were kind of Ninja Turtles too.
Oh yeah, that's yeah. There was a definite Sentai streak to them.
Yeah, well, there's a Sentai boss. The Turtle Squad is different, I think. I think the Turtle Squad were like Ninja Turtles.
Oh yeah, there we go.
Like that Sentai boss.
Yeah, there was like the Sentai boss. It was in the volcano. I got two things mixed up. Yeah,
I don't think Sentai stuff is that cool. I don't really get it. I know people who really dig it.
Uh huh.
It's just like I remember watching Voltron as a kid, and somebody had to point out like that was a Sentai Squad thing.
Oh yeah.
As a kid, I remember liking Voltron.
Yeah.
But I'm too old for Power Rangers. Like this, this came out.
You were you're definitely too old for Power Rangers now. You were too old for Power Rangers when it came out.
Yeah. I have always been too old for Power Rangers.
Yes.
So I don't really get it, and I don't have the nostalgia for it. So like when something like this comes along, or when so the Lost, there's no episode for it, but like the Lost episode of Check It Out, Comrade, me and Nick were going to do a Chroma Squad, and actually played it. And that game fucking sucks. and it's banking on this kind of like Super Sentai nostalgia. But it's also just wrapped up in a really mediocre tactics game with like every character, like the way in like, and this is an anime trope, and I'm not trying to get into that, but like it happens in Super Sentai shows too, where like everyone will kind of chime in, like something will happen and everyone has to like be like, whoa, you know. That doesn't work if everyone does it in turn, which is everything that happens in Chroma Squad. You have to wait for everyone to have their little like non-additive one line.
Yeah. As the camera zooms over to them. Yeah.
Yes. And it sucks.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
No, I had no idea that was a game. I mean, that's why I don't do that show. I like Power Rangers definitely made it exactly the right time. Came out in 1993. I was 6 years old, which like, yep, Yahtzee hit it right there.
Yeah.
I was still very much in love with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. This was more martial arts based stuff. And I was like crazy into like the fact that they, you know, they all had different weapons and different styles, and like, you know, the outside of suit stuff was like just a cheesy high school kind of thing. When you're a little kid, you always look out, you look at high school type stuff. I'm like, that is what my life will one day be like. being bullied by Bulk and Skull.
The Bulk and Skull were also kind of losers too. Like they were bullies, but they were also the butt of jokes and stuff.
Well, of course. Sure. Yeah.
I spent a lot of time, the very little bit of Power Rangers I would watch, like it would be on the TV sometimes. Me and my friend Austin would hang out, and it would come on before something we were interested in watching. Like I think it came on before or after the Batman animated series.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
So we'd end up watching little bits of it, and we didn't ever, the fighting stuff I think is, I always thought was pretty bad, but the high school stuff we'd watch a little bit of. And I like, we were always trying to figure out like Bulk and Skull, and we almost were going to go as them for Halloween one year because our body types matched really well.
Right.
For that. But it's just like when they'd show up and it just starts playing the like, boom, you know, boom, baby boom, elephant walk.
These are the idiots now. Welcome to the stupid guys. Da, 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 da.
You know, music that plays whenever that happens.
Right.
And we used to always joke about those guys, but everything else I remember like almost nothing about.
Right. Right.
Like, It's a very weirdly for me, and this, you know, obviously not for other people, like so Teflon. Like, yeah.
I mean, I don't know that I could recite the plot to any given episode aside from Rita Repulsa wants Earth for herself, and so she creates a clay figure of what she's going to send down, and then these high schoolers who are dealing with their own shit have to band together to stop it. That is literally everything. And you know, most of the actual like character stuff just happens in the margins, you know?
Yeah.
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 And like I was down for, you know, a person in a plastic suit kicking the shit out of a person in another plastic suit, in a city, with energy beams and shit. Like, you know, when you're six, that's your jam, you know, like down to the point where, you know, on our playground, we were forbidden from doing any karate because, you know, again, we were at this confluence between Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, and this was also shortly before the revitalization of Star Wars in the mid-90s as well. So all of that was like, hey, all we wanted to do is like do this play fighting that just amounted to like, you know, dancing and yelling.
You know? Just shaking around and
yeah.
kicking the air and
yeah you know. like shouting the name of the attack that we were gonna do. Yeah
it's karate has always been, I wonder if like kids have that now, where like, because karate has always been a weird demon for kids, you know, like
it's always been an attractive nuisance, right?
Karate getting outlawed, like I remember that being in our playground too, like we couldn't play fight because everyone was way into like Ninja Turtles or like Chuck Norris, Karate Kid.
Everybody had the action genes.
Yeah. Power Rangers kind of took that, you know, took that thing and ran with it. But the Godzilla stuff, like the giant monster stuff, and this has always been true. And I don't mean this as a slight, because I understand what is good about Godzilla, to a degree, you know. It's only kind of worked for me. And part of it is the action is so slow. When they're in the big rubber suits, like everything happens in ultra slow motion. Like this has no sense of kinetics to it. And it always felt like, I think that's why I was okay with Voltron, because Voltron is like super kinetic. It was like this 80s space anime, and everything was kind of fast and snappy. And I remember watching Power Rangers, and it was like watching an action cartoon that was underwater. You know, it's so slow.
But you see, when you're a little kid and you can suspend your disbelief, like, oh my God, they're so fucking huge. Look at the next of that building.
It's the bigness, you know, that does it.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, and you know, again, like I wouldn't defend this today, but like I had a term, like if this was appointment viewing, like this is, you know, eventually what my relationship to Dragon Ball Z would be, you know, you're rushing to get home, hoping the bus isn't delayed so that you can get in there and watch this as it airs. So you don't miss like the next beat in the story or see what's, you know, or, you know,
whatever monster of the week.
You know,
Rita Repulsa decided to create.
Yeah. Or later Lord Zedd, or in the movie Ivan Ooze.
Yeah, yeah, Ivan Ooze. Rita Repulsa.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like never really worked for me. It's one of these things where as you get older, the differences in your years reduce, you know?
Right.
Like when I was a 14-year-old and all the little kids were into Power Rangers, that was a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the age difference. And then as you get older, like even, you know, kids who were 3 years younger than me, like they were 11, you know, 11, 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good age for getting into the Power Rangers.
Yeah.
So now I find myself talking to 33-year-olds who have like intense nostalgia for Power Rangers.
Right.
You know, so even, and you know, you and I, like even yourself, you're younger than that, but like, even people where it seems like it's almost no difference. Mm-hmm. We'll just be like, yeah, that's the fucking coolest shit. And it's one of the first things I remember like having active contempt for when I was a kid.
Oh yeah.
And now growing up and having to be like, oh, that's like, you know, I do not share that nostalgia. What is that like? this is a really big example of that.
Yeah. I have no perspective on this.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah. The first one of those things that I can remember feeling contempt for was actually Yu-Gi-Oh! Because like that came on so hot on the heels of Pokemon, and I was already kind of over the trading card game stuff, and then just immediately here's the new hotness, this is going to be the new thing that you're, you know, all the kids are going to go crazy for, and then Yu-Gi-Oh, it's a show about the card game, like no, I don't need that.
I think this is cynical. And I'm 10.
Yeah. I mean, almost exactly. It's like, just pass. Whatever. I'll be happy occasionally touching a Pokemon game every 5 years for the rest of my life. That is fine.
I think we talked about it at length, like the weird way that every Pokemon knockoff is so clearly not as good as Pokemon.
Right.
Like just in terms of design and aesthetic and everything, like the aesthetics in Yu-Gi-Oh! are below reproach.
You know, Bakugan, what if every monster looked like a legendary? No.
Yeah. I was at a thrift store yesterday.
Did you find more Bakugans?
I you'll admire my restraint. They were selling this like cool Bakugan holster thing. Oh, it would look like a speed loader for a six shooter, except each chamber, instead of a bullet, it was three Bakugans. And I think the person who priced it didn't realize this thing was full of like Bakugan gold, because each one was full of Bakugan. So it was 18 Bakugans and this Bakugan holder, and it was $3, and I almost bought it. And then I was like, I'm getting ready to move and I'm getting rid of stuff. Like if I buy this, I'm literally like, one, I thought And I was trying to think of like fun network things. I was like, what if we did like the Adopt-a-Gon program and like I sent out Bakugans to listeners? Like, that's funny. But then I was like, I don't really want to do all that mailing.
Yeah. Well, so no, you have to set it up as a flat Stanley kind of thing, you know, just to include enough stamps or, you know, like postage, you know, you just put postage labels to forward this thing along to like six people. And the last one has to come back to us with photographs.
Photographs of these Bakugans in different areas of the world.
Yeah. Is it too late for you to go back?
Probably not, actually. I was surprised it wasn't taken, though, because it was like, again, $3 is a good price for a Bakugan holster.
for a veritable cornucopia of Bakugans. For a Bakugopia.
A king's ransom of Bakugans. Like, more Bakugans than any one person should see in their entire lifetime. Like, it is... It was really cheap, so yeah. It probably isn't too late for me to go back. Maybe I'll do that tomorrow afternoon.
Just to see, I like the idea of doing Flat Stanley with let's say six different Bakugans at any given time.
I like the idea of running into that thrift store, like not finding them there, and then like flagging down a clerk.
What happened?
Ma'am,
what happened?
Ma'am. Yesterday there was this Bakugan holster. Bakugan holster. Do you think Bakugan holster sounds like something that Stephen Colbert would be investigated by the FCC for calling Putin?
But Trump just wants to keep Putin's Bakugan safe.
Yeah, it's not homophobic. It's Bakuphobic.
And everybody's fine with making fun of Bakugans. Come on.
Yeah. But again, like in 10 years, though, when Abject Suffering, the Next Generation or whatever happens, having this discussion about Bakugan games. And like the you know, Gary 2000 will be like, I don't really understand Bakugan. And then Cole 2000 will be like, I was right in the pocket. Like, I came along right at the time for Bakugan.
I will have been dead for about 7 years by that point.
Presumably we'll both have been dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but just kind of interesting the way these, like, you know, these fad kind of things come along. And the same way that, like, I feel, you know, and I recognize how stupid it is, but I'm like, man, this Power Rangers nostalgia, that movie looks like absolute shit. Who are these people who want to see that? But then, you know, for some reason, I'm like, oh, yeah, but the old Turtles cartoons are actually very good. You know,
no,
like,
they're not.
Like, yeah, exactly. They really weren't. Like, they, you know, I would probably make the argument that at least the Turtles cartoon had a bit more variety to it than the Power Rangers. Because I think that you describing the Omni plot of the Power Rangers is probably its biggest, like, not evergreen feature.
And that is a function of the way it was produced, right? Because again, this is a Sentai show. They couldn't actually film any of the, or they didn't actually film any of the fights themselves. So what they did was they got footage of the fights from the Japanese show that it was adapted from, and all of the Power Rangers branding and stuff, all of the high school stuff was shot around it, and they you know, obviously overdubbed everything on top of it as well. And I think, like, over in Japan, like, the subject matter of those shows was a little bit more mature. It wasn't, like, aimed directly at, you know, a 7-year-old like it was for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Man, I remember one of the best birthdays I had. I forget what year this might have been. It would be really easy to look it up, but I don't want to do that. Was when the Power Rangers movie came out, not the 2017 one. That would be weird. The first one, again, with Sir Ivan Ooze, went and saw it in theaters and was really good. And for my birthday, I was like, oh, I want the tape of this so I can watch it over and over again. And it just, like, I was like heartbroken because it was going to be coming out like 2 days after my birthday. And like, my grandma begged and pleaded and hectored the person at the Kmart because they had them in stock, but they couldn't break street date until they actually sold it. Like, hey, don't tell anybody, cause we could get in a lot of trouble, but you know, we want, you know, your kid to have this, so here you go. So my grandma made herself a nuisance so I could get the birthday present that I wanted.
This is like the prologue to an Aaron Brockovich-esque story where your grandma takes down Bandai Namco, or like Bandai,
yeah,
or whatever.
Takes down Bandai Namco for what they would eventually do to Dark Souls 3.
Yeah.
Betty?
Send her back in time. I was thinking of Bandai, but I meant Saban.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. But like, it's just, you know, it's she had a lot of power in that moment.
She really did. Oh, man. Should we talk about this game?
I'm like, a little bit. It's so boring.
It's so incredibly
the game
slight.
Is like the game is very much like the show, and that is very boring and repetitive, you know, as far as what you actually do. Like,
sorry, I thought you were talking about this show, and I was like, do we need to have a chat?
Yeah. This game is very much like the abject suffering of games, where it's incredibly boring and repetitive. And no, I mean the Power Rangers thing, where it's just like, go, you know, I'm gonna fight some clay guys that don't pose a threat and die in one hit.
Yeah.
Which happens in the TV show. I was gonna say the cartoon, like the, you know, the cartoon, whatever, the TV show.
Right.
And then you get to a boss and you fight the boss, but the levels are very, very long and boring,
mm-hmm.
and not very hard.
No. So it looks like a brawler. It looks like it's going to be a final fight or what have you. But there's only one plane of movement. So you can't move up and down the street. The enemies just come at you from either side.
Yeah. And most of them die in one hit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and they take a long time to attack. Like, it's not, in some ways that's good because, you know, kind of a brawler mentality where it's trying to suck your quarters. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's not doing that.
Yeah.
You know, it means it's like not challenging. Like that, those mechanics, you have to do a lot to make them work without being cheap.
Right.
You know, if you don't want to go do that. So
yeah.
it's pretty bland. I thought.
Yeah. The only real dimension that is brought to it is in the difference between the regular high schooler and their Sentai form or their Power Ranger form. Right.
Yeah. You get a weapon.
Right.
But like dimension is even like, it just kind of increases your reach. Your moveset stays the same, you know?
Yeah, pretty much.
There are lots of buttons on this controller you're not using.
Of course. Yeah.
You know, and then you get to the bosses, and the bosses are kind of interesting. The first boss is actually great. Like, I like Gentleman Skeleton that you like.
Oh, yeah. He attacks like as you destroy parts of him.
Yeah. Until eventually he's just a head that like moves around. Like, and I thought that was actually like pretty fun. And then I got to the second boss, the like accordion playing goblin. And that was really bad. So yeah. I was like, this is stupid. I quit.
Yeah. And that matches exactly what you would see on the show.
Yeah.
The accordion playing goblin. Like, that probably describes about, let's say, a third of me.
Yeah. This whole is really very, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's just not very much to it. I like in the second level, if you want to, you can destroy cars, but there's no incentive to.
Right.
It's just if you want to, if you stand in front of cars and punch long enough, the cars explode, which I appreciate.
Well, yeah, but these otherworldly space space children who are commanded by a giant head and his disc robot, they are above the law as regards collateral damage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's always the subtext of any kind of giant monster, like Tokyo kind of kaiju thing. It's just like, oh, like people die.
Yeah.
By literally the thousands every time Ultraman does anything.
Yeah.
Like, Ultraman can't stand up without killing several families.
Right.
You know?
The fact that Ultraman is gray as opposed to being just covered with blood is...
Yeah. His feet are. I'm sure he's just ankle deep in just, like, blood and bone and brain and stuff, and they just never show it.
Right. Well, no, after the monster, like, picks him up and throws him down the street as he just slides, just fucking surfing on the wave of blood.
Yeah, slipping slides through the Johansons and the McCormicks and all the different...
all the different spice brands. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just... I don't know. It's... You at some point in this game you get to turn into the Zord, right? You get to turn into your Megazord.
Yeah, you get to turn into the Megazord. That is in the last two levels. This is a very short game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was disappointed that I never got to turn into the giant, you know, thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. Does the gameplay change or does it just change scale?
I have no idea. I didn't get to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's boring.
Yeah.
Like it's really bland. Like there's just the combat system just is not deep enough.
No.
To support this.
Gary, we're beating around the bush here. We got to talk about Billy.
Yeah. So Billy, you choose your five Rangers. You got five Rangers going on. And one of them is clearly the one that I think you should choose just based on image.
Of course.
In this cartoon. If you're looking at this. There's a guy, and I had to confirm with you whether this is true. There's a weird fat hillbilly hanging out with the Power Rangers.
Right.
You got a B-boy. It's like Skate from Streets of Rage.
Uh-huh.
Girl in a pink dress, a guy in a red costume, and a lady with yellow tights. And then a fat hillbilly.
Yep, wearing overalls. The least flattering of all garments.
Yeah, who's pretty chunky.
Yeah, he is a thick boy.
And you pick him, and you just get this like real fat guy moveset. And I was like, I didn't remember the cartoon that well, or the TV show, but I was like, I'm sure that's not how he was.
There was not somebody who was pushing three bills in
the cartoon. Like, these are all young, attractive people.
Right. They're all high schoolers.
You know?
No. So his moveset is ridiculous. Like instead of having like a combo, if you tap the punch button a bunch of times, he just does like this really fast slap. in a particular direction. No, so yeah. I think they have him in overalls because he is a nerd. He's like the engineer. I've always liked Billy as the Power Rangers because he was the Donatello. Like, he makes some gadgets and stuff. You know, he is the nerd. He solves problems with brains instead of brawn, right?
Yeah.
I have no idea where they got the added weight because that actor on the show, you know, he was as fit as all the rest of them.
Yeah, they're all ninjas.
Right, right.
And but they're martial artists. Like, they're not meant to be just like schlubs.
Right. And when he turns into the Blue Ranger form, it's not like he's got, you know, the keg hanging off of the front of him.
No, yeah. He turns ripped.
Right.
Yeah, he becomes ripped.
Yeah. So this must be like a Nutty Professor kind of situation.
It's very strange.
Yeah.
One of the things about this game that I noticed is nobody knows how to use a weapon. Like, when the clay monsters that you're fighting, instead of stabbing you, they like present a knife to you. And if you walk into it, you get hurt. And when a Blue Ranger uses a spear, he kind of just like lifts it up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't really, you know, attack with it like the way you would with a spear.
Right.
You know, and same thing with the axe. Like, I played the second level with the Axe Ranger. And he also just kind of like holds the axe forward like for like it has that like lack of kinetics that the TV show does, you know?
Yeah. And it's funny because if you look at all the facts, they, you know, they definitely sell those as differentiators. I think they're trying to make them into the Turtles, you know, with like, oh, you got Billy, he uses the lance and that means he has further reach.
Yeah. But he doesn't. And also things can get inside your spear range.
Mm hmm.
Which is frustrating in this kind of game that doesn't, like, that's a cool idea for if you're using a spear, you have this, like, kind of hurt box you have to be mindful of. It doesn't really work for this.
No.
Because you can't back away from something. So if you turn away from somebody, you turn around, and then they'll hold a knife out, and it will happen to touch your back.
Right. They'll present the knife on a pillow.
Yeah.
So they can have some plausible deniability.
Golden child, the knife. Yeah.
Oh God! Who knew that my button today would be a golden child the golden reference? Child,
man. Yeah, the golden child, that blood oatmeal.
Yeah. Seriously. Okay, so the golden child, you know, made for somebody who was home on summer break, turning on Comedy Central, thinking, "Let it be coming to America. Let it be coming to America. Let it be like, coming to."
Nope. Oh, you got golden
yeah,
child.
You, so. Yep. You stupid piece of shit.
Yep. You thought you're gonna get Coming to America with that McDowell's joke, which is Coming to America. I bet you is still kind of funny. I haven't seen that show in a long time, but
yeah,
wonder if that holds up.
Seen that show?
Yes.
Yeah. that picture.
Yeah. The game. That's the game. You get to your bosses. Eventually, become a super Zord, and you fight bigger bosses. But I think it's very bland. The game fact for this is kind of rich.
My eyes glazed over. I have no idea.
There's just a lot, I guess. I mean, again, this is not Game Facts Gold.
Right.
But like, so one, and if anybody's played this, you'll understand how ludicrous it is even to do a walkthrough for it with anything other than like boss strategies.
Yeah, it should just be one word, right?
Well, that's, area one. Start by walking to the right. Keep going until you're under a green tarp. One putty decides to come out and play. To kill this creature, press Y.
Oh my gosh. What I want is a super cut or a super edit of just descriptions of the putties coming at you. Because like if they start with coming out to play.
Yeah.
Like, oh boy, here comes trouble. Putty trouble.
Yeah, exactly. A putty decides to fray it up. One putty would like to party. It's a putty party with two putties that come from either side. I like this game fact too.
Who is that putty from Seinfeld? No, it's one of these monsters. But I had you tricked, didn't I?
To deal with this trick, press Y. This guy, I like how, because his whole game fact is very like disaffected. Like his introduction is Mighty Morphin Power Rangers is a mediocre game for the Super Nintendo. It has no definite replay value, and the levels are mostly hack and slash. Like he's kind of like down on it from the start, and then describes it as such.
Right.
The kind of game facts, like the interesting stuff, you know, that happens is in these reviews and message board posts where people have that nostalgia that we talked about a lot.
Of course.
And it gets in the way of like everything. So like this guy in the message board, Merlin 87, says, "That's a shame that the Green Ranger wasn't in. This game is great. the only thing I feel it lacks is the Green Ranger. What do y'all think? And then Renan XYZ says, I think this is one of my favorite games growing up. Okay. You know?
Here we have a friend named Jammo who says, Power Rangers was still good after Mighty Morphin. That's the topic. And this is 6 years ago, so we're talking, you know, in the 2010s. Just the kids who watched the Mighty Morphin were growing up, and the series changing every year without the tone aging with them made the series lose its magic. The kids who watched it the more recent series probably have a blast. People tend to be blinded by nostalgia. This is a quote. It's not what I grew up with. It's different. It sucks. Hey, why are you going to bat for Mighty Morphin Power Rangers?
And every single time you shorten this to just Mighty Morphin is fucking killing me.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot handle people who are just referring to this as Mighty Morphin. The review from Fire Thief 2004.
Okay.
You find this guy's thing, which this, the title is Go Go Power Rangers. This game is absolutely amazing. It's one of the best games ever made. It's such a classic. I insist you buy it now. there's five sentences in that title. And, you know, oh, yes, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the best show ever. Could be. Way back in the day, my best friend and I would obsess over how amazing the show is, et cetera, et cetera. Everything is 10 out of 10, all the things. You know, should you buy it? Yes, you should buy it. Instant classic, you know, just kind of. And then in the message board section, he has a post where he says, where is he at here? He says, it's not I smoke drugs. It's not Jammo. It's not flamethrower.
Jammo's mine. You keep your hands off Jammo.
I'll leave Jammo alone. My review from 2005, and he just posted his review again.
Yeah,
of what he just did on the same fucking site.
Just like, trying to you know, like a revived discussion about this work that he's done. You know. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, chill out, guys.
Just chill out. Speaking of chill out, we have our friend Jammo who has an astonishing 1386 karma, which is ridiculous. His user level is icon on the board. He's user level 34, which is ridiculous. But his signature currently is, this is a quote, the truth is never a laughing matter. Attributed to somebody named Big DSD08. And then he editorializes behind that, a wise proverb, nothing in real life is worth smiling ever. Nothing in real life is worth smiling over ever. Lol.
Well, his old signature 6 years ago was George Bush doesn't care about Ewoks, and then another line, non sequitur, I got warned for spoiling in a message that stated that it was a fake spoiler. Lol mods. So he's got like a history with this whole thing.
He really does. In this topic, Legend of Zelda, Majora's Awakening of the Skyward Oracle, Ocarina, Princess Waker's Phantom Spirit Adventure to the Past, coming to the Super Wii, Cube Boy Advance 64. Nintendo certainly has been making games for a long time.
Good point. This guy's killing it.
Yeah.
This guy's living his best life.
Yeah. Like, nobody can stop him.
Yeah, nobody can stop Jammo. I wish he had a picture for his icon. I'd really like to see like a banana smoking a joint or something there. Like, I don't I don't know.
Yeah. So there's some stories here. I at least want to share one small part of the saga before we end this episode. So the Blue Ranger was portrayed by the same actor for, I believe, the longest. It was either like, hey, the same,
like Menudo, right? Like people got rotated out.
Yeah, people got rotated out, but you just had this person, Billy Yost, not Billy. I forget the actor's name. I probably need to pull it up here. You had this person who played him for basically like a decade or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The final straw, according to his version of the story, is that eventually the cast and crew were making so many just horrible homophobic remarks that he was like, hey, listen, I can't be here. I don't even know if he was a gay person. Who knows? And so before killing their character off, he's like, hey, he walked off before the end of the season. And so to get rid of his character, they had it's like, hey, where did Billy go? Where did the Blue Ranger go? And they just had like a static picture of him display on a screen as they were in their spaceship or whatever, saying, I'm sorry, I need to go. They basically my own planet needs me. And they used a different voice actor, and they even said, wait, he sounds different. Well, it's because of the transmission. Like they just, they just got a dude to do their best Billy Cranston impression.
That's very funny.
Oh,
good for him getting out of there.
Yeah. Also the character's last name was Cranston because Bryan Cranston did a lot of voices for the monster characters in that, as part of Bryan Cranston's like first big kind of set of roles, which was doing dubs for animes and stuff.
Yeah, and then he eventually went on to play the gigantic head.
Yes, in the, yeah, he played Zordon. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Those trailers, which like weird, I was really expecting that movie, you know, to be a disaster by critical consensus, and it kind of wasn't.
Yeah,
you know, it's like people didn't love it, but like people didn't hate it either. And I'm like, this looks so bad.
Yeah,
well, like it's very like, did you see the trailers and stuff for it?
No, absolutely not. My only impression of it was after Emily Banks was cast as Rita Repulsa, Gamergate, MRA, whatever we fucking call those monsters now, got really upset, like that she just wasn't like right for it, because you know she was outspokenly like, hey, you know, women should probably be treated like humans, and they could not brook that, because you know, a feminist being part of their thing, it was almost like they were trying to revive some of that Ghostbusters heat a little bit, but like,
yeah,
she's still playing a villain, like, and that's actually a really good casting choice. Like Emily Banks is great.
It's gonna be great when all those people die and they realize on their deathbed that the world has moved on without them. Yeah. Like that they are relics and like no longer have a place here. I didn't like seek out the trailer online or anything, but it showed up before movies I watched. I just remember, cause like the dialogue is really clunky. Mm. It's like, just like, man, last night we were in a cavern and we all got powers. You know, there's like lines like that. And I'm like, oh God, no,
yeah,
no. Those Sentai things. I'm nervous. My, you know, Ben of my games group is going to run his first game, and he wants to run like a Sentai game. Like a brief, you know, like short, you know, one or two sessions.
Yeah, yeah.
And like I don't you know, like I want Ben's ever run a game before for us, and like I want to encourage him to do that. I'm game, you know, I'm GGG when it comes to tabletop gaming. You know, but he's just like, I just don't have any affection for the genre. So I'm trying to find good, you know, references for like, what's the best of this genre? Like what is the good stuff?
Yeah.
And there aren't any real answers that I've heard that have been particularly good.
Yeah. I bet if you just played it like a superhero thing, it'd be fine.
That's what I'm going to try to do. Yeah. But the nice thing is, when I was saying that to those guys in email, Courtney sent me this compilation of clips from another Super Sentai show where everyone is based on a fruit or a soda.
Oh, geez.
And that's really fun. Like, because they like, you know, they lock in this little symbol of their fruit on their belt, and then a gigantic version of the fruit comes from the ceiling and merges onto their head, and for like a second they're just like a Power Ranger but with a gigantic like apple instead of a head, and then the apple folds down and like transmorphs into armor and it gets less cool. But I was like, man, if it's just like they just, you know, I'm all durian, and then like just a durian comes down and like is your head and you just fight like that, like then I could get into it.
Of course.
It needs to be stupider, because I'm not going to be able to take it seriously.
Yeah.
Like it's very hard.
Do you have a sense that Ben is going to want it straight laced, or is there going to be room for,
I mean, none of our games are that straight laced. Like, when you get six Jokers together and every one of them is wild.
Oh boy, you get the cameras rolling. Yeah.
Yeah. It's lots of goofs. I think that the tropes of that genre though, he actually legitimately likes, and I have to navigate. I'm just going to go along with it, but I don't.
Yeah.
I'm bad at that. Like I wish I was better at, like, you know, I'm sure I will have fun, but like if I'm not having fun, you know, if everybody goes around the table and is like yelling the name of their, you know, their special attack,
yeah,
like it'll be very hard for me to, like, if I come up with something and my heart's not in it, like he'll know, and I won't be good doing it on purpose,
right?
Like it
right.
won't be like this, like I you know, I don't do that, but I think I'm I don't have a good poker face when I don't like something.
Yeah Well, I mean, I just remember you're doing it for your friend, and I don't think that you are going to you know, do something that will disrespect him. You know?
Yeah, I hope I'm gonna try not to, and I don't have any disrespect for him. Like right. I have utmost respect for him, so I'm working on it. But it's been in my mind space, like trying to figure out a way to navigate this or come at it, find an angle for this genre that I think is fun.
Yeah,
and it's been tricky. So
yeah, it's 2 weeks. You know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It won't be. I'm not even worried about that. I just don't want to accidentally hurt his feelings. Mm. Like I'm not worried about myself.
Yeah,
you know, I'm fine. I just want to not, you know, I don't want him to feel guilty if I'm like, you know.
Yeah, if you're just, if you can't sell it, yeah.
Yeah, if I can't sell it, exactly. I'll try.
Yep.
You know, I'm just not good at that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's okay. It's the only anime thing that we've done for the for game night. So we'll do two nights out of 6 years or whatever. So yeah, that seems about right.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. Let me know how that goes.
I will.
Yeah.
So we've learned a lot today.
I believe we have. We've learned that we can get away with only talking about the game for 5 minutes.
That's what's going on today, but I think it makes sense with the games we're doing.
Oh, like, it certainly does. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't have anything else to say about the game. Like it's not, I mentioned the accordion playing goblin, which like, I think it's about as goofy as it gets, but it's meant to be funny. Like it's not, you know, that's not a bad aspect of it. It was supposed to be funny when it happens in the show too.
Yeah. And like all of my, I'm saving my anecdotes and my juice. Like I had stuff that could have been good for this, you know, because you're talking about childhood stuff. But I think the next episode is going to be pretty grim.
So it's a little svelte. So yeah, we have
tune in next week for just us talking about our lives.
Yeah, because the which again we recognize that's been going on, but this crop, it was like not bad. It just was not. I didn't feel like it was highly digressionary.
Yeah.
As maybe it could have been, or it was highly digressionary, but not related to the game as much. So if you like the show, you can support it. The best way to do that is go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. That is where you can give us a couple bucks a month to get cool rewards and help us reach cool milestone goals, and in general support your boys, which is appreciated
very much. So please tell your friends if you think they will be down. Obviously if they won't be down, don't inflict us on them, but like word of mouth is the only way that we really grow. Especially if you know somebody who listens to other Duckfeed shows, this one can kind of hide off in a corner a little bit. And so like be an advocate in the community saying, hey, this is where the action's at.
Yeah.
I'm making a case to probably 30 people right there.
Yeah. which is fine.
Yeah.
So do that. Your ratings, reviews, all those stuff, all of the things are good. You know, the things.
Yes.
Do the things. In addition to doing the things, who is Blue Dog? But Blue Ranger Dog?
Yeah, why not?
I mean, yeah. There's a blueness in the Power Rangers.
Who is Melancholy Dog?
There's a certain sadness to their
to their exploits.
Yeah, if you read between the lines, you know, at some point they're all gonna. I mean, I guess like the subtext of that show, and this is, you know, is that they are all like it's a very sexless show, but that's the horniest time in anyone's life, you know.
Yeah.
And that was never dealt with in the show, right? Like, did they ever date? Like, is there implied like?
I think that Billy had a crush on Katrina or whatever the Pink Ranger's name was.
Okay.
But because the Red Ranger was kind of the alpha, I think he always played a little bit of second fiddle to it.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
But nothing ever came of it.
I really don't know. Well, during their final battle, Rita traps Zordon in a time warp while Zordon seals Rita and her minions away in a dumpster on the moon.
Okay.
Yeah, we're after the credits there, so we're fine.